Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy, who this week admonished airline travelers to stop misbehaving on airlines and in airports and to instead help us return to what he calls the golden age of travel.
Manners don't stop at the gate. Things aren't what they used to be. Some would call it the golden age of travel. Let's bring civility and manners back.
Duffy wants people to stop bickering, stop complaining, stop accosting flight attendants, to put their shoes back on, and to, generally speaking, class up the joint when they fly, returning the country to a time when flying was something only the classy people did.
Help people out, be in a good mood, dress up, bring civility back to travel.
Well, it must be nice to think of the 1950s as the idyllic period we should all want to return to, that bygone era of order and beauty when flying was a luxury only the best people enjoyed, you know, where white men were in charge, women knew their place, and the poor and minorities knew they weren't really welcome on planes. Oh, sure, Duffy couches it all as nice-sounding words like civility and golden and decency, but this is really just white supremacy culture talking. He wants people to dress up and stop wearing pajamas on planes. Must be nice to have enough disposable income to afford both a plane ticket and special flying clothes. He wants people to control their children better. Must be nice to have a nanny who assists with the care of just one or two kids instead of having to manage a half dozen babies by yourself as a single mom after Republicans cut family planning programs and outlawed abortions. Don't be so loud. Don't have so much fun. Sit still and be quiet. You know, like good little clean impressed white children. Always remember what you were taught by Blumfeld's fourth treatise on making everything everywhere all about race all the time. If a white man is lecturing you about behaving better, he's telling you to be more white. Terms like punctuality, civility, good manners, dressing nice, and golden age are all code for white supremacy culture, and don't you forget it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, surely the highlight of our month was the New York City fashion show put on by designer Michael Schmidt featuring gay-themed rescue wool from homosexual rams in Germany. As some of you know, the practice of sheep farming involves killing the rams who refuse to mate with the ewes, often because approximately 8% of all male sheep are sexually attracted to other males. Horrified by this practice of genocide against gay sheep, a German named Michael Stuckey, someone who was always the rainbow sheep of his own family, founded a nonprofit cleverly entitled Rainbow Wool, whose sole mission is to rescue non-mating sheep and turn their coats into garments of sexual liberation and protest. Schmidt and Stuckey partnered with the gay hookup app Grindr to bring a 36-piece collection of flamboyantly cosplay-themed clothing to a fashion show that became an animal rights story. Cleverly titled, I Wool Survive, Stuckey said the collection proves that being gay is part of nature itself. The wool from these rams isn't just material, it's a message spun from animals who live freely and are loved. Some of the costumes created were of a very gay football player with a midriff-bearing knit jersey, knee-high stockings, a matching jockstrap, and, because accessories matter, a hand-knit football. A gay Roman wearing a white cardigan-textured toga, and an extremely gay medieval soldier wearing a gray knit wool male thigh-length one-piece complete with a gray knit goatee protruding from his stylish coif or headpiece. Honestly, these creations are about the gayest thing I've ever seen. And so much the better for us. As Schmidt even said, he really wanted to lean into the gay. And so he did. So well done, Schmidt and Stuckey, for reminding the world that rams who prefer to ram rams weren't turned gay by a woke culture. They just have softer wool and slightly limper hooves than other sheep and generally enjoy show tunes. Thanks to you, we have some new flamboyant clothes to go clubbing in and a new catchphrase. Ba-ba rainbow sheep. Have you any wool? Yes, they do, and it is super gay. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, we want to say something that will really surprise you. Our highest praise this week, the naturally worn Birkenstock of deodorant-free bravery, goes to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for his proposed legislation related to pet stores. Now, obviously, in an ideal world, animals would not be owned at all because we would recognize ourselves as their caregivers or of companions, not as possessors of property, which animals most certainly are not. And thus, of course, we prefer no pet stores and no people who breed for profit. But even though he's not outlawing pet stores outright, we do want to honor the solid half measures being offered by DeSantis, who otherwise is the physical embodiment of pure evil. His proposed legislation would prohibit abusive breeding practices such as crowded enclosures, exposure to the elements, overbreeding, and undernourishing animals. It would also have a hotline for reporting your neighbors whenever you think they're doing anything wrong with regard to pets and breeding, and you know how we love the ability to report our neighbors. But the real reason we're honoring DeSantis today is his intent to force retail pet stores into promoting shelter animal adoptions inside their own stores.
We also want to require pet stores to offer space to local shelters for adoption before they use space to sell dogs from the puppy mills.
Yes! Stores like Petland would have to feature rescue animals as a preferred option right there in the pet purchase department. He wants to tell these private businesses how they must use their private property for a government objective promoting pet adoptions. This means forcing a retailer to actually advertise his own competition, and especially when that competitor, the shelter, is offering their product at a massively reduced price. And he wants to compel their speech in promoting adoptions over the purchase of their own bred dogs.
Shelters across the state face overcrowding, and being able to profile these animals at pet stores will help save them from being euthanized.
For a governor who previously claimed to have believed in private property rights, free markets, and free speech, this is an amazing abandonment of his core principles. Imagine requiring Dillard's or Bell's to not only remind people that lots of great secondhand clothing can be found at Goodwill or Waterfront or Teen Challenge stores, but to actually make them offer thrift store clothes for sale within their own floor space? It's audacious and wonderful. And what is so delicious is that he suddenly thinks it's unquestionably obvious that, of course, this is exactly the kind of thing that government should be doing.
Why would we not want to be focusing on helping find these dogs homes that are in a shelter? That should be the priority one for everything that we're doing with respect to dogs.
If he had merely been suggesting this or encouraging it, that would have been one thing, but to actively use Florida's business regulation and agriculture departments to compel speech, interfere with markets, and coerce the use of private property in this way is something one would previously have thought only our woke-alites of at least the fourth degree capable of. So well done, Governor DeSantis, and welcome to our side. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, one note before you depart. Just remember that ever since 2021, our order has expressly forbid use of the expression Black Friday to describe today. Although most people believe the term refers to the day when businesses move from being in the red or in a deficit for the year to being in the black or making a profit, this is historically false. The truth is that police in Philadelphia in the 50s and 60s started referring to Black Friday as the day when traffic became insane as shoppers flooded downtown to take advantage of the post-Thanksgiving deals. Hence, once again, the day being black meant something bad, just like Black Monday when the market crashed, or black marks against your performance, or being the black sheep makes you an oddball. Since Black Friday derives from blackness as a bad thing, using the phrase is, again, participating in white supremacy culture, which you must not do. Also, referring to a day of big discounts as a black day is just another way of reminding white America that black people are less than, reduced, and an inferior thing, just like the deals today. Black Friday teaches that having a product at a discount, like 3/5 of the regular price, makes it a black price. Just like the Constitution taught that counting people at a discount, like 3/5 of a regular person, made it a black census. So perhaps call it Bargain Friday, or Shopping Friday, or perhaps Rainbow Friday, but never ever refer to it as Black Friday. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.